This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris with the Norris Group, and we are back with John Aronson. He's a general contractor and manufactured home contractor that we started talking about last week, a bunch of updates when it comes to SB 13 and accessory dwelling units. And I want to start this week by talking about, I feel like we're going to be troublemakers in the ADU space together. We're finding out all kinds of things. I've been exploring 3D printed housing, but I was also really interested in finding out that Amazon had made a little bit of an investment in a manufacturing plant that was, I think the office is based in Santa Monica, but the manufacturing plant is out in Fontana. And I'm like, why would Amazon be investing in a prefab plant? But it made the news and you ended up taking a tour. So tell me about that.
Well, it was really a pleasant experience. I've been on several, as a dealer, I mean, every manufacturer that I'm a dealer for, I've been through many, many of their factory tours. And I've also visited many other factories that I'm not necessarily a dealer for, but have been interested in over the years. And I've got to tell you that prefab house is really a first-class act, really a nicely balanced and organized facility. Their production is just impeccable. Their quality is better than anything I've ever experienced in the field, just because they use jigs and rigs and they can, you know, make everything fit the way it's supposed to fit, and they have processes that make it airtight. And there's just so many advantages to going with modular manufactured versus site-built, in my opinion.
And it's interesting that it's happening right here in California in my backyard. That was pretty cool. And the prefab plant has a beautiful website. The price point of this, they have one ADU currently on their site. And it's priced, I think the base price, not including like the permits and all that, is around $100,000. I need to look at that.
I think you're right. No, I toured that.
Oh, you did? What did you think of that model?
Yeah, I did. I liked it. No, it was very open, very spacious, had a lot of windows in it. In fact, I had so many windows in it, I questioned the gentleman who toured me through the factory about the Title 24 and earthquake. I didn't see much shear panel on them, but he said that they could always retrofit that back in. They've been using that particular model as a model in shows and exhibits and so forth.
It's very modern. So it's only 400 square feet, and it says the base price is $99,000. It's a one bedroom, one bathroom, and the completion estimates they have at $160,000. So it's pricey, but
It is pricey, but yet it's probably at the end of the day a lot less expensive than going with a site built. It doesn't take nearly as long to get put on your property and CO'd so that you can actually start using it. And, you know, for investors especially, where time is money, you want to go with the fastest way possible to start revisiting your cash.
Did they say what their turnaround times have been?
4 to 6 weeks.
Wow, that's really not bad.
It's not bad at all. Now, if they get busy into the summer months, it could go extend, you know, they're out to 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, that's typical with most manufacturers. It's seasonally adjusted.
I know I've experienced this on my flips in California, is just finding the skilled labor to do a lot of construction. So knowing that you're in a plant where people are building the same thing over and over, assisted by machines, there's something very exciting about that.
from a
quality control perspective.
Oh, it's the way of the future.
Well,
yeah,
and it
no,
really,
it's, I mean, offsite housing is going to, or offsite construction, period, would be a commercial or residential, is the way of the future. I have a really good friend of mine up in Hemet, right down the street from Hallmark. In fact, Hallmark can see the car wash. It's all factory built, it's all done in in a plant.
Now, for those of you unfamiliar with Hallmark, that's not the card store. This is a manufactured home manufacturer.
Sorry about that.
And CO stands for Certificate of Occupancy. I've definitely been learning a lot through this process, but I see this, the offsite building makes a lot of sense to me. I don't see it changing. If anything, I really think that's going to be the way of the future, just especially here in the state of California. It's seen as very green. The few stick homes that we built, I mean, the attention to detail you have to have now about runoff and dust, I mean, the expenses that come along, it'll be interesting to see. I haven't compared the cost of that when you're not having to build like that on site. Have you happened to see sort of like a comparison, the cost savings, because you don't have to do that kind of on-site prep?
Oh, absolutely. No, if you have to do a slab on grade or a raised stem wall foundation, you're talking, you know, probably in the neighborhood of $10,000 to $25,000, depending on the type and style you use, and that's just for openers. And then you start building from there, and that's what makes on-site construction so expensive. It's going at right now. The rate is probably right around $350 a square foot.
Yeah,
$350 a square foot, and that's expensive. But like you said, that there's labor shortages. There's a high demand right now for new construction, as well more for a rebuilding and remodeling room additions than for just about any other segment of construction. A lot of new construction, but boy, there's a ton of rehab work going on and remodeling.
Well, if we're comparing timelines right now, so in this kind of thing, the plant prefab, a 4 to 6 week turnaround, which is really amazing. How are the manufactured builders doing? Are they really building and behind? Are they similar time frame?
Pretty much getting caught up. You know, they had that run of bad luck with all the crises that were happening up and down the state, the fires and the floods and everything else. And they were in high demand then. They were out, you know. Well, I'll give an example. The first ADU I bought, I ordered at the end of 2016, and I didn't get it until April of 2017.
Oh,
and that was right in the midst of all that stuff going on, all the crises. So
well,
it was way out there. It was out several months, and I've been a dealer for this particular company for 22 years, and they still couldn't do anything about it. It was what it was. But they pretty much caught up with all that, and now they're getting normalized, and they're back to a 4 to 6 week period. I just had a day I spent at Silvercrest getting re-indoctrinated with a bunch of new dealers and old dealers and personnel from Silvercrest, and kind of brought up to date on their inventory and where they are in production and so forth. And I left feeling pretty good that they can deliver, and they're at about 4 to 6 weeks as well.
And stick built now, in your experience?
Hallmark, I'm not sure. I'm sorry?
Oh, well, you were saying Silvercrest Hallmark is about the same, or you're not sure?
The Hallmark, they've been recently acquired by a Canadian company, and I'm one of their dealers, I'm not really sure what's going on. The sales manager for Hallmark told me that they probably weren't going to continue making ADUs because the demand for what they do is significantly on the higher end and the multi-sectional, multi-story, multi-dimensional type of projects, that the ADU thing was almost kind of a thorn in their side. So I was glad to see Prefab House come along, frankly.
It was interesting.
They are in the ADU.
At the Builder Show in Vegas, I talked to several people about ADUs, and it was not on their radar. So if it does get big in California, I think that could very much change. But just a point being, just real quick, what's the timeline in your experience with stick built for an ADU of the same size?
Oh, geez. It's not even comparable. You do a site built project is going to take you anywhere from 6 months to a year, no matter how you cut it. You have so many trades involved. You've got so many scheduling issues going on. You got change orders going on. You've got site preparation going on, and sometimes you run into obstacles there. And then the waste factor is unbelievable. The amount of waste on a site built structure is almost shameful.
Yeah, no, understood. It is. I'm looking on Clayton Homes. Clayton Homes is, I don't know if it's wholly owned by Berkshire Hathaway. Do you know by chance?
I know Buffett's got the majority of it. I remember when that transaction took place. Gosh, it's been what, over 10 years now.
But, yeah.
You know, when they first started, it was a little more low key than it was right now. It was right after Hurricane Charley in 2004. I remember because I had to take a bunch of folks back there and help set up a bunch of those homes that got blown down or had to put new ones in. I spent over a year back there, and that was in 2004, 2005. Is right when Clayton Homes was being acquired by Buffett. So he's had it a while, and now he's on a roll. I wasn't sure about it at first because I didn't hear a whole lot about Clayton Homes when they first acquired the company. But now it's pretty much a known factor that Buffett's a major player.
Yeah, the only thing that I am seeing, I don't see anything under 750 square feet. It looks like the smallest thing that they have, at least on their website, is called the Viejo, and it looks like a wobbly box, and it's $80,000, 920 square feet. So,
yeah.
Okay, so as of now, they're not going to play the ADU game. So let's get into a little bit.
Well, also, they're not in California. They're located back, I think it's in Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And you know, they have a whole different demographic, and they have a whole different appetite or lack thereof for ADUs. It's not as big a deal back there because it isn't a law yet. It may be at some point, but right now there's really no major incentive to start delving into the world of ADUs for a lot of manufacturers that are out of state. Almost all of your manufacturers that are here in state, or like even in Arizona, are into the whole ADU thing, and they're almost all of them coming up with some type of an ADU product. I know Silvercrest just came out with a very nice ADU brochure and some really good pricing, and they're kind of leading the field, to be perfectly honest.
Okay, what's the size that you're seeing, and what's it look like?
Well, they go anywhere from 400 to 840 square feet. With in their brochure, I think they've got 8 different models. And those are the ones that I was telling you earlier that could be a purchase for under $100,000 installed if you stay within the 400 to 600 square foot range, one bedroom, one bath. And then you start adding bedrooms and bathrooms, then your costs start going up almost exponentially.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking on their website right now. Okay.
I'll send you their brochure. I thought I did, but I'll send it to you along with the price list. And
okay.
I think you'll be pretty impressed.
Well, I started to see, and maybe it's because I've visited their website, Mighty Builder is a 3D printed builder that rumor has it they will be out this year with the under 400 square foot 3D printed home. And I don't know the details on how long that'll take from them vetting the site to actually 3D printing the outside structure. I mean, it's so new. You know, a lot of these 3D manufactured 3D printed home manufacturers are saying things like, oh, we can print the structure in 48 hours or less. Okay, well, what does that mean? Is that just the core structure, and before that you have to pour the pad, and then after it's got to dry for a week, and then all the the insides are going to take another couple months? Like, I don't have an idea of time frame for that. It's great in theory. Is it a...
Well, I tell you what, I actually did a couple... Funny you should mention them. I did a couple of inspections for them down in San Diego not too long ago, and it's an interesting company. I think it's a great concept. I hope it works. Boy, I hope they can start printing these things out. That would be fantastic. But from what I understand, they had to kind of marry up, if you will, with a modular manufacturer near them somewhere in order to get their product out, because they're not licensed modular builders. And in order for them to really expedite and facilitate any of their projects, they had to kind of marry in with an existing modular developer or builder manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think there was a couple of issues there, because that meant it wasn't all printed and had to be part printed and part modular. And there was a question as to how you were going to integrate that. So, you know, I think that they did get a little bit ahead of themselves, and I think they kind of retreated, if you will, and are going back to the drawing board.
Well, they're still heavily advertising, on at least on my Instagram, so I see them. I would love to get them on the radio show at some point, but a lot of these manufacturers are going. I actually invited Icon, a 3D printed home manufacturer. I met them at the Builder Show, Jason, the CEO. I reached out to him and his PR team, and they said they'd pass for now. They're not ready to talk. Now, they're based out in Austin, and it is his goal to be able to print a structure for $10,000. So, I think that's probably going to be a few years away. The price that
is that the cement filled one? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's a cement one. So, it's just a substrate that they're printing out. And from what I gather, the copyright or whatever you call it is actually on the substrate that they're printing with. So, that was what my question all along is, where does this fit into the code? How long is it going to take? And I still don't have a lot of answers, but I'm interested in the price point, because if you could really print something for under 50 grand that fell under Title 25, that would be pretty stinking exciting. If you can rent it out for $1,500, that would make a big difference.
That would be huge. I think it's kind of going the way solar, when they first came out with solar and they started experimenting with photovoltaic, and it's taken from the 70s, from the first energy crunch when they started developing and serious about solar, that's when they started with the photovoltaic solution, and they're still working on that today.
Right.
They just haven't, been able to really get that thing under wraps. It's still macro technology, and they need the micro technology to make it all work, and I don't think they've found that silicon chip yet, but at any rate, I kind of think 3D printing is going to kind of go that same route. I hope it doesn't take as long, but I think they're kind of going
through
a learning curve.
I don't think it's going to take as long. It's going to take them some ramp up, and everyone's trying to be real quiet to do the stealth attack, but I wish them well, because it would be really interesting to see how that could really help the housing issue that we're having here.
Absolutely.
One more thing we should bring up is definitely on the prefab. You sent me an email with some structures that I could buy on Amazon, and I laughed because it was $8,000. Were they positioning themselves as a granny flat? I forget.
You know, it kind of came across that way, to be honest with you. my wife laughed at it. She's the one that showed it to me, because she's an Amazon junkie. There's not a day goes by we don't get a package at the door from Amazon. Ooh. But she looked at that and said, "Hey, do you think I should order one of these?"
Well, if you go on Amazon, I'm on there right now, and you type in tiny home, there's these beautiful structures, but they're basically glorified tree houses. Or playhouses, because the base price is obviously does not include, the pad. It doesn't include plumbing or air conditioning. So we're not comparing apples to apples there, but it made me laugh.
I'm going to look at it too. Does it even have insulation in it? I mean, I vaguely looked at it.
No.
So you'd have so many, I mean, it's almost, these were the tough shit.
Well, yeah. This one is labeled a cabin kit, garden house. Yeah, 209 square feet.
Yeah, so it's not like a habitable dwelling. It's not, I mean, kids will probably go spend the night out there, and so will mom and dad if it's next to the pool and it's hot out. But as far as making it an actual legitimate dwelling structure, property permitted and positioned on a parcel, I think they got a long way to go.
Yeah, this is not going to pass your code enforcement.
No, not even get close.
So
they'd never issue a permit. If you took that first thing you have to do when you pull a permit is take in your plans and specifications for the project or the model of the manufacturer you're going to use.
Well,
and they couldn't do it because they wouldn't be approved drawings.
No, and in SB 13, one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up is that there's a notice of correction for ADUs. So if somebody had illegally converted a granny flat outside, a detached structure, or even the garage, which was attached. And as long as it doesn't violate health and safety, if it doesn't have health and safety issues, there's going to be a 10-year hiatus for the owner to have time to fix it. This definitely wouldn't fall under that. So I didn't want anybody thinking they were going to be real cute and, go to Amazon and buy an $8,000 thing. And
Exactly.
I don't, health and safety is definitely going to be an issue there. So, So Apple's
quick question on I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just had a quick question. You mentioned 10 years. I just read on reviewing the SB 13, I think it was, that they had kind of redlined the 10 years, and then there was 5 years next to it. Did you see that?
You know what? I know it's going through some changes, so I'm glad you pointed that out. I had not seen that yet. So I don't think it's probably in its final. I don't know when it's going to go up for vote. I know that I have to send out an email next week. I said that I would do that to for Senator Wieckowski's team, because I think they really need to hear from the investor community, especially horror stories. I think they've been really good thus far working with me, saying, you know, if you have horror stories, please send them in, because we need real examples of some of the nonsense that's going on and the fees, the park fees. I think somebody told me that they were trying to charge a $20,000 park fee in some city in Southern California. And you're like, really?
Those are all these ridiculous entitlement fees and they're all getting, I mean, having read, I'm glad you asked me to kind of brush up on SB 13, because having gone through that, I can see where if it does pass, it's going to really tighten the rope around, the noose around their neck to start complying with some of these issues and reducing some of these costs. Because I still, you know, changing the doggone rules and regulations, it's almost like they're doing it as often as you change the sheets on your bed, for crying out loud. It's crazy.
It is definitely... It's a moving target. And I think what some investors don't appreciate is that if we get in early and we give them case studies of things that we're experiencing, sometimes those legitimate case studies could end up working its way into the bill somehow, which is really, really exciting. So I'm going to send out a sample letter. I'm going to write one myself and take care of that next week, so they get as much feedback from investors as possible. I am a little worried on this panel that we're going to be on, you know, it's an audience full of owner occupants. It's going to be interesting. We're going to be creating a pool of new landlords, inexperienced. That'll be
that's what it amounts to.
I love that SDCIA has decided they really want that to be the audience, because they're going to need a resource when they get sued and they have to evict people. How do you evict people out of an ADU? Is it the same as if it is a regular single family residence? I don't know.
Well, they're going to be writing books about this for a year. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a whole plethora of obstacles and challenges out there that we haven't even been able to address yet. One of them is insurance. We'll get into that at some point.
Yeah, insurance. What are you seeing right now as an issue with the insurance?
Well, I'm just not sure how they're going to address it in many cases. I've been reaching out to a few insurance companies. I'm with AAA. I've been with them for 25 years. They insured about everything I own practically, but they said that they'd have to take it on a case-by-case basis. And the first thing you want to know is it going to be an A or a B unit or a one-half type unit with a separate address. If so, that pose certain standards that they evaluate the insurance by. They treat it as its own single unit. Then there's the manufactured housing element. There's only about two companies in the United States. The foremost is one of them, and the other one is American Modern, that even insure manufactured homes. Now, unfortunately, the first one I mentioned, Foremost, is owned by Farmers Insurance. They won't have anything to do with manufactured homes.
Wow.
So that leaves one purveyor in the United States that I'm aware of that will write it, and that's American Modern. And that's who I have to manufacture. The homes that I own now are all insured by American Modern. They seem to be about the only game in town.
Well,
they'll have to write two separate policies. They'll have to have a homeowner's policy, and then they'll have to have American Modern basically cover the manufactured part of it.
Oh, geez. Okay.
That's my understanding. it's what I'm saying. There's so much stuff going on. You can't wrap your arms around it. And it makes me, frankly, a little reticent to really start pushing too hard with folks on manufactured homes, although I will and I do. But I also disclose to them everything I'm disclosing to you. Mm-hmm. I don't want them coming back to me later and saying, hey, you didn't tell me about this, or hey, I can't get insurance, or hey, the bank won't let me fund it because it's manufactured. You know, I tell them up front, you could have these issues. And it frankly kinks a lot of deals. I probably turned away a lot of business that way, or converted it over to site build if the people had the budget for it.
Turned away a deal, but also a lawsuit. Good for you. It's California.
Oh, I'm too old for that stuff, Aaron.
I know. Nobody has time for that. No, it's one of the reasons I really want to cover this very well for real estate investors who are looking at this as an opportunity. It is an opportunity, but it is a moving target. And unfortunately, every municipality is dealing with it differently. And now the state's trying to come in and throw their weight around. So we did cover last week, Senator Wachowski, I brought up the fact that, okay, there's a specific city that one of the investors said they decided that there was a moratorium so they could study parking. And Wachowski said, no, that's not allowed. It's through.
Yeah, no moratorium.
But what are the teeth to that? Like, you as an investor have to decide, I'm going to go ahead and move forward. But I'm sure the city could make your life very miserable. And at the end of the day, if you just try to sue the city, it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of money. And at the end of the day, you're going to be a case study on whether it would even work or not. So just be very careful as you approach this and stay tuned. We're going to try to keep covering this in many interesting ways. And then if you can join us and you're close to San Diego, June 11th, you'd be able to be around some experts, including John, to ask questions personally. So with that, one more time, if they want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to reach you, John?
FreshBackyardHomes.com. Open up the website. A lot of good information there. We're actually redesigning the website as we speak, so there'll be a lot of new forthcoming information. Also, download our guide. You see it on the right-hand side of every page, ADU guide in red. Download that. You'll learn everything you need to know about what to do prior to even hiring a contractor. If you took all the 8 steps that are in there, you'd come out way ahead financially and also from the time standpoint.
All right. Well, thanks for your time. And we're going to probably have to loop back around later this year because things are going to change.
Looking forward to it.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.